All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Let's get ready for a day of playoff football, and you have to bring in some big-time hitters to do that, right? We got two of the biggest big-time hitters in the history of WRMJ, Tyson Blazer and Liz Watkins Furlong. This is such a thrill. Thanks for coming. Well, I guess at first I'll say we had some good times over the years, right?
Oh yeah. I'm really pumped to be in studio. This is the first time here. This is awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
We had good times, right? We even had good times last spring,
Liz,
right?
We did have good times last spring. We just keep the relationship rolling. But, yeah, thanks for having us.
So, and the reason I wanted to bring you two in is, you know, multi-sport athletes, we talk about that, and it's easy for those words to kind of roll off the tongue for a lot of people, right? But I look back, and we were talking a little bit. We had a half-hour conversation off the air before we came on the air. And, you know, talking with the 2008 and 2006 graduate, that's not that long ago. But even you admit, both of you guys, that things have kind of changed since you played in terms of trying to be a multi-sport athlete. So let's begin there. How do you think they've changed?
I spent a year UT as a baseball coach, and it has changed. I tell you what, it's tough to get guys to come out for multiple sports. Everyone wants to do one thing, and they've got a lot going on. And so I don't know exactly what has changed. Maybe, Liz, you could speak to that. But it's definitely tougher for these kids to do multiple sports.
I think the schedule's gotten more intense, too, with all the specific lessons, batting, hitting, catching, pitching. The, you know, honing in the skill set of, you know, each sport as well. So I think, you know, it's gotten a little more time consuming as well, but also kids are working, and also the games have changed. I mean, look at softball. We're moving the mound, and we're changing the style of bats, the balls, the core of the balls, etc. So there has been a lot of changes since 2006 and 2008.
Yeah. Well, and I look at it, and I told both of you this, that For me, the first, like, key to be a multi-sport athlete, very simple. Do you love playing? Do you love playing? And I told you the story. I can go, and I thought of you guys when I was at a summer basketball league, a couple of games last summer. And you see the body language of some kids. And I said, you know what? I said, I know at a summer league game, if Blazer and Watkins were playing basketball, their body language is not that. Why? Because what?
Because we
Simple.
Love it.
Do you like playing? I mean, isn't that what it boils down to? Do you like playing? Because I tell people, if you don't like playing, don't freaking play. You know, don't sit here and people can't complain about, well, you're not a multi-sport athlete. Well, the first question is, if the kid doesn't like playing, he shouldn't play. Do what he wants to do. What brings him joy? And I said Blazer and Watkins were three sport athletes because they like playing three sports.
I loved it.
Is it that simple or not?
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think it comes down to also, though, sometimes it's hard to get into playing all these different sports because so much is asked of these kids nowadays for each individual sport. You know, it's very time consuming for your football off-season programs, your basketball season programs, your baseball off-season programs. You got to go to this trainer, you got to go to that trainer. And so these kids get burnt out. And so the easier route is I'll play one sport, right?
Do you remember not, like in high school when I'd watch you play, do you ever remember a moment, Oskie, where you didn't enjoy not playing something?
No, I mean, practices are hard. You have some tough losses. You know, the car rides home with your parents are difficult after tough losses. But
I can't imagine Mel Blazer. Talking about Mel Blazer.
Or Dave Watkins.
You had a bad game?
Yeah, once
no,
or twice.
No, come on.
But tying it back, you still have to love the sports that you're playing. But I'm a huge advocate for kids to play as many sports as they can and get involved in as many activities within the school, whether it's NHS, band, choir, Crime Stoppers, you know, French club, anything, just to keep them busy. And it also teaches them life lessons of, you know, working with different leaders or coaches, what kind of coaching style they have, time management, and kind of just how to pick yourself up after losses, or how to handle, you know, how to be humble with success as well. So.
What was your, it was funny, and I probably shouldn't bring this up because I was having a conversation about with Michael O'Brien, who was a great player back in the day at Aledo in 19, we played on the state title team in 1998, went on, was an All-American at Western Illinois University, the FCS level.
I remember watching him play.
Yeah, and he's helping coach Sherrard, and we were having this conversation on the sideline before a game this year, and he said, you know, I remember playing that I only cried when I was in high school playing for my high school team, because I really was invested into this whole community thing. That's the biggest heartache that I got playing. And I probably shouldn't be even telling the story about him telling this, because he played on good Western Illinois University teams too, but he said that was my real, I got that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, is that the biggest heartache for you when you look back at sports? Some of and maybe the biggest joys too.
I think you hit on the head. Out this way, the small communities, it's amazing. I mean, everything, they get behind you. And my last year, I was debating whether or not to play football. My last year, you know, I just thought it would run its course. I was going to play baseball in college, and to be honest, the reason I played is, you know, the relationship you could build with those guys for 3 years and growing up with these kids in the community, and you feel almost like you owe it to them more than you owe it to yourself. And that was a big push for me to, you know, continue to play three sports around here. I don't know if still the kids feel some of that around or not. I don't know, but I sure did.
And biggest joy, biggest heartache playing high school sports or not?
For sure. You work hard for your coaches. Coach Strahan, I mean, he could yell at me in the middle of a locker, you know, in the locker room, and you go out and you have the game of your life after that. Same thing, you know, across the sports. You play for the relationships that you build, and not that you owe it to them, but your heart is in the game, and you just want to go out there and do your best. And like Tyson said, our community, we have the best community out here, whether, you know, it's Aledo, Orion, Rockridge, you know, out this way. So.
Well, and then I was asking both of you off the air, and of course, Liz Watkins Furlong went on to play softball at Iowa. Tyson Blazer went on to play baseball at the University of Iowa. So we have two Big Ten athletes upon us. Two stellar Olympic Conference athletes. Segue, Tyson Blazer.
Yeah, bring back the Olympic.
See, I told you.
Bring it back.
If you ain't, come on, man. A few people listening out there don't hear these people saying
the
that.
Olympic,
come on.
The best.
all right, I lost my train. No, we were talking about favorite sport playing, and I asked Liz Watkins out in the front office without hesitation. Here's a kid that played stellar softball, top level softball, said basketball.
Yep.
Right?
Basketball was my favorite sport. Still is. And you know, I played softball at a high level, and I coached softball. You know, we just won the state championship this year out of Rockridge. But basketball was my favorite sport. The connections with the girls that I had, you know, on the court, and how you had to work as a team to, you know, have success, as well as, the relationship, you know, I loved playing for Coach Strahan. He was the best, and I've had a ton of coaches, but he's definitely the best coach that I've played for.
Wow.
So
you hear that, Strahan? He probably got practice at Rock Ridge this morning. What about now? This is, as I say this to I say this to a lot of people when we get in these dumb conversations about, like, what's the best team you play, seen the best game, best player, whatever, you know. And I still tell people to this day, I phrase the question, ask me what's the best individual Rockridge basketball performance you ever saw, Taylor. And they're always, the first thing they always say is, well, what Hap game was it? Wasn't Ethan Hap. I said it was Tyson Blazer at the Shirk Center at Illinois Wesleyan University over Christmas, where he scored 33 of 37 points, and his team beat the eventual state runner-up. And I think the four other points that Rockridge scored that day, this is kind of the urban legend part of it that I tell, he had the two assists for the 37 points. And they had Zach McAllister played on that team, multi-sport athlete, pitches for the Cleveland Indians still right now.
Most successful one on the
field. Yeah, the and then they were state runner-up, lost to North Lawndale in the state championship. I think that was still the two-class system there. But you did that to them. And even Coach Cook, we agree on very few things, but he agrees too. That's the best individual performance he ever saw in basketball. So that's the best individual performance. Sorry, but Hap's still the best single player I've ever seen in high school. But that was such a dominant performance. I'd have to think that basketball, I'm talking about a high school sport, had to be close to your favorite. I know you're a baseball dude through and through, still work for the New York Yankees, but how close was basketball in there in those Jeff Henry days?
Oh, man. Absolutely loved playing basketball, hands down. Like, baseball, I saw that. That was where my future was going to go, but it was right up there. I absolutely loved playing. Nothing like it, man. Going in, and we had some good teams back then, but the basketball in the area was so good and competitive and just battling on the courts. I loved it.
Well, and I remember Jeff Henry, some of my fond stories about, like, the personality of kids. I remember, I mean, you were an immediate legend when you were a freshman. I mean, in terms of impact. Now, I didn't see Eric Lawson play when he was a freshman at Girard, but I heard he was an unbelievable freshman. But just the IQ of the game and how you played. And I think it was your freshman year where it was a game at all. It was a game at Rock Ridge, and it was the regional, and you're playing Alleman, and it was late in the game. And Rock Ridge, and this is a freshman kid, mind you, that is inbounding the ball underneath the Rock Ridge basket, and there's an Alleman kid that has his, and Cook talks about this all the time. Oh, Cook, I should have brought Glenn Cook in here to co-host this interview. Glenn, we should have done that this morning. But you're inbounding the ball, and I'm pretty sure it was your freshman year, and you throw, it's a key moment of the game. You throw it off the back of the Alleman kid, get the deflection, lay it up, and lay it in. It's like a three-point game or a two-point game at the time, and I'm like, Blazer just did that, and the Rockets are up four. Eat that, Alleman. We run down the field. So it comes to talent, I get that, and it comes to taking lessons, I get that, and it comes to improving your game. But it drives me bananas, and this sounds like an old bald guy that lives on the south side of Lido talking that knows it all. That where's the IQ of all this stuff at? In how much of an advantage you can gain from IQ in playing games. And I know you had natural ability. I get that. God gave you natural ability. God gave Liz Watkins natural ability. But to get the edge, those little things of understanding the nuances of any game you play. And I thought both of you guys did that to a T.
Oh, no doubt.
Do you remember that play?
I do. I do remember the play. But I was talking with my wife last night about just some things of multi-sport athletes, and we both agreed. Just your sports IQ, knowing the game, your feel, your athleticism is all improved by playing multiple different sports and just learning how to compete, whether basketball, baseball, football, softball, soccer, whatever it is. You learn to compete. You learn some of the nuances of the game, things that you're not going to necessarily get when we get into one sport and you put everything into it. I think some things are lost along the way of just the importance of how to compete.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to segue with what you got to say, and then I got another question about kind of taking one for the team. So
yeah,
go ahead.
No, we here at Rock Ridge we have classroom almost once a week, once every other week, and just go over like key things throughout the game and how to think it and try to bring up the girls' IQ. And I think that was a huge advantage that we had this year when we won the state championship, because we were light years ahead of the other teams in the IQ category, I felt like. But also, to key off what Tyson was saying, when I was getting recruited to the University of Iowa, they didn't come watch me play softball. They came to the basketball game. They were sitting in the Rock Ridge gym watching us play basketball. And actually, Gail Blevins, who is one of the winningest softball coaches in NCAA history, she said, I want you to be a multi-sport athlete. I want to see how you handle different types of situations, not only on the softball field, but how do you handle, are you a team player on the basketball court? Do you hustle after, if you miss a shot? Do you, try to stop the breakaway? Things like that. And so they want to see a well-rounded person and how you handle different coaching techniques, et cetera. So.
Well, and I guess that's now I'm completely off the thought pattern here. And that's why I told you guys, everybody that comes on this program say, there's no way we'll talk about an hour and there's 15 things that I'm not going to be able to get a point on. But from a recruiting standpoint, two kids that played at Iowa. I think in the to me, these are the situations where very rare. This is the exception and not the rule. I mean, kids don't go to the Big Ten from, I'm sorry, from Rock Ridge. Well, they do. Taylor Hatt plays it at Wisconsin. But they, what I'm saying is they don't. It's very rare. I mean, I've done this for since 1990. Name the Big Ten athletes. Well, Watkins and Blazer and Ethan Happ. Okay, well, there's like 8,000 kids you broadcast. That's it. That's it. You know what I'm saying? So how important do you think it was, the good citizen standpoint, to be recruited? And I'm not talking about just at the Big Ten level. How important do you think that is, of you better do well in the classroom, you better be a good citizen, you better be involved in stuff, and you better not be an idiot? Are you seeing more of that type of stuff where people are really, they're trying to recruit those type of kids at any level, that they don't want to worry about off-field stuff, where if I have to worry about off-field stuff, I don't care how good you think you are.
Yeah.
I'm not. Definitely. We're not interested in
Definitely.
You.
I mean, they want to know how the parents are. They the recruiting, you know, the coaches that are recruiting, they'll ask around and say, you know, is it the crazy dad that yells from left field? They want to know, are you getting good grades? Because guess what? If you're not getting good grades and you can't perform on the field because you're delinquent, you're not an asset to them then. They want to make sure that you're giving back to the community. And one thing that actually the baseball team and the softball team at Iowa did when we both played was we would do the Habitat for Humanity. We'd go visit the children's hospital. We would do things within the community, food drives, the thank-a-thons. We'd have to call and, you know, thank everybody, you know, for their donations and for, yeah, you know, things that they do to help the programs. And so it's definitely, they want to see kids that are volunteering in their churches and that, you know, are helping out younger kids and younger teams and getting involved in the community. And they want to see your, you know, your resume, that you are active in sports and active within your school and things like that. So that's a huge asset if you are trying to get recruited out there. Try to be well-rounded and get good grades. Definitely get good grades.
Yeah. So as a recruiter in college, they're looking for all those things, and it just makes it easier if you're a decent human being.
Exactly.
it's just as easy as that. You know, can you still go and play if you've got some sketchy things in your past? For sure. But it's going to be easier. You're going to have more looks. They're going to take that into account, and the colleges are going to want it.
By the way, I got a text from Coach Cook, and he said, I'm 45 minutes away. I could make this sign off. Love this. And he should try and drive here and get into a road rage and have him tell the road rage story someday. That was one of my favorite stories he ever told. I had an enlightening conversation, I know, over the summer. Spencer Strangart plays softball at Illinois State, which is a D1 program. And she was helping coach a summer league game, junior high basketball, I think, at Girard. She was talking about kind of the commitment it takes to be a D1 athlete, and I remember going to see Ethan play a couple times. Well, I went to one of his practices last year on media day, and I watched practice, and I'm like, I don't want to be a Big Ten bat. You know, you have these dreams of like wanting to play, and then you sit through and watch one of those practices, and like, I ain't game for that. And then I remember I was watching him play one year at, well, they played in Madison. It was a stupid Sunday night game where the kids have to play on Sunday night in the Big Ten, 8 o'clock. And I was waiting there with his dad, and the Illinois kids were leaving. They were playing Illinois, and they're getting on a charter bus. You know, mm-hmm. Sunday night, kids have the backpacks walking to the bus with the books out studying.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the life of a Big Ten athlete, and they think
Tyson,
it's so,
looks at me.
They think it, but they think it's so glamorous, yeah, in the commitment you have in your sport,
yep,
in season, off season, and then the commitment you have in the classroom. Because I'm sure there are examples where the elite athletes, maybe they say, yeah, maybe we're not going to push them as much on the academic side of it. But most scholarship athletes, the university wants their return on their investment. And
exactly,
they expect you to succeed in the classroom, too. They don't want to worry about that. So
definitely.
I mean, people think it's this glamorous life. And when I hear some of these stories, and I see some of the stories, I mean, when you're playing, it looks, it is glamorous, but I'm sure all the other stuff outside of it, it takes a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you have to think about it like this, too. The coaches that are there coaching at that level, that's their livelihood. If they're not successful, you know, they have what, usually like a 4-year, they got 4 years to turn a program around or they're gone. So
it's the business side of it.
It is the business side of it. But you also, they push you to your breaking point. I mean, there was many, many nights that I called home crying to my parents. And
was it
like,
main freshman year or throughout your career?
Definitely earlier, you know, because you figured out the ropes then. And it was, you know, a change moving away from home, et cetera. But yeah, they're going to push you to your breaking point physically, mentally, because they want to break you down and then they build you back up. And so, it's not all the glam and glorious, you know, all the matching outfits that you get and, apparel and stuff, but you definitely, you're going to cry, bleed, sweat, you know, but also, you have to keep your grades up. And there's so many kids, you know, especially on the women's side where, so my husband played football at Iowa and, you know, they have, I feel like thousands of full ride scholarships, but for the women's side of it, you know, I think softball gets like 10 full ride scholarships on the team. So like half the team will be on a scholarship. And, so they are able to fill in academically as well with scholarships. And so we had to keep up a certain GPA on our team.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and but
then you're supposed to compete at the highest level in the field too.
Right.
Exactly. But we, you know, you have to keep a certain GPA up on the team. But they also set you up for success. We have the Learning Center at Iowa where you have to log like 8 hours a week in to do your homework. But they also have tutors available, and we'd have tutors travel with us if needed. And what's kind of unique is we had 5 doctors on our team that are now doctors. So not only can you, five.
That's amazing.
Not only, you know, are we competing at the highest level, but they're also now competing in their professional field at one of the highest
levels. Well, and I always thought too, because I know my oldest daughter's a freshman at Iowa. So I know the academic challenges it is and how overwhelming it can be in the classroom coming from a rural school. And, you know, this is a non-student athlete there where you're just trying to figure your schedule out. And, you know, the culture of classroom learning when you're in these lecture halls of, what, 1,000 students, 600 students, that's bigger than your, you know, twice as big as your school.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to traverse through that and then, you know, when I look at it like a student athlete that's coming from this area where if you kind of miss the classroom portion of it and you're like a high learner and you're like, man, I need that classroom stuff and I'm missing because I'm going to play softball, how am I going to overcome that? They're expecting me to do it with this tutor. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's not the professor. I mean, so what about that?
I'll tell you, for me, going back to the multi-sport and high school, it was huge. I played 3 sports, and so it was from sport to sport to sport. Get up, breakfast, school, practice, home, homework, do it all over again. So then when you get to college, you go right into it, and everything is structured. And for me, being an athlete was going to be easier than being in the normal population. Everything was structured for you. It was laid out. This is my schedule. This is what I got to do. I know what I have to do, and I know what I have to do to get it done. And you parlayed that into the professional side of it for me, and I love that. You know, a couple of years when I got out of it, I missed that structure. But to go to your point earlier, not everybody is wired that way. And I think too that the people that go on and play in college at a high level, they have that it's almost innate in them to be able to handle that and structure themselves and have a narrow focus on everything they do, going from the classroom to practice, and they can really focus in on whatever it is that they're doing at the time.
All right. Well, I know we've already talked a half hour.
Oh, jeez.
I've only got to one of the things I wanted to talk about, so I do need to take a commercial break. And, man, great insight this morning from two of the best in our area, Tyson Blazer, again, working with the New York Yankees organization. And I told everybody, I forgot to say this, I'm broadcasting the Rock Ridge football game today, and it's the first Rock Ridge game I've done this school year. The last Rock Ridge game I broadcast, it was Rock Ridge winning a state title in softball, and Liz Watkins Furlong on the Rock Ridge softball coaching staff as well. Hey, we got a lot more to come up on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
Most people understand the need for life insurance, but not many want to talk about why it's essential to your financial plan. It may seem intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started with Country Financial. Your Country Financial representative will work with you to find life insurance that gives you the protection you need at a price you can afford.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Life insurance policies issued by Country Life Insurance Company and Country Investors Life Assurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois. The human foot is complex with 26 bones, 33 joints, 20 of which are actively articulated, and there's more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments. That's why 6140 Run introduced Albert, the revolutionary 3D foot scanner. Albert helps customize your shoes specifically to your feet. Whether you run, walk, or on your feet for a long time, 6140 Run knows feet come in all shapes and sizes, and with Albert, you'll get a customized, comfortable fit every time. 6140 Run carries Brooks, Mizuno, and Wolverine work boots. For a better fit for your feet, see 6140 Run next to the Downtown Y in Galesburg.
There's nothing worse than an unavoidable accident involving a deer. Russ Wingert at Brad's Collision Service says it's something they see quite often.
We deal with it quite frequently, especially this time of year, with deer running after the fields are picked and everything, so they do keep us busy.
And at Brad's, they'll make sure you're not inconvenienced.
As far as doing with the insurance company, getting them photos of the damages and getting the owner and another vehicle and on their way, we'll take care of everything for them.
So if you have the misfortune of having your vehicle strike a deer, turn to the professionals at Brands Collision Service in Aledo. If you're in the market for a tractor, sprayer, or combine, Martin Sullivan is your home for new and used John Deere equipment, commercial and residential lawn equipment like zero-turn mowers and riding mowers, lawn tractors, and more. Stop in today and talk with one of our experienced team members to figure out what equipment is right for your job. See us about one of our great inspections or smart services. Troubleshoot with our knowledgeable parts and services departments. We have the equipment, service, and people you know and appreciate at Martin Sullivan in Aledo.
All right, Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Of course, playoff football coming up at 12 noon with our pregame and a 1 o'clock kick as the Rock Ridge Rockets play host to Orion, a rematch of a Week 9 game won by Orion 31-0. All right, I forgot to bring this up. We were talking about, like, taking one for the team. And I remember I was talking about Tyson's experience as a freshman at Rock Ridge. And I remember Liz Watkins, who was this Big Ten catcher for Iowa, as a freshman said, I'm sure coming in thought, hey, I'm going to be the catcher on this team because I'm an elite softball player, played ASA growing up. I'm the deal. But you had to take one for the team, right? And you were the right fielder for the Rockets who won state your freshman year, right?
Yeah. I was. yeah, my freshman year.
So what did you learn from? And I remember interviewing Liz Watkins as a freshman on our post game at state that year, and it was played at Eastside Center, and that was the two class system where you had to play a quarterfinal, semifinal, yep, title game in 2 days.
Yeah. My parents always instilled in me that go out there and be the best, you know, that you can be and do the best that you can and take advantage of the situation, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that present themselves. And going in, I was a catcher and a first baseman. And dad always said, you know, as long as your bat's hot, they're going to find a spot for you. Well, they hid me in right field for a little bit. Actually, my freshman, yeah, hid me out there. I made some good catches. I think I still have some from New Channel 8. Dive and catch. I mean, it doesn't look that good.
Athlete.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying.
Basketball made me agile.
Taking one for the team, as we talk about. You know, we were talking a little bit about lessons are such a big thing now. They become much bigger than they did when you play. And it's always, you know, having this part of the conversation for me is always interesting because you got to be very careful. I understand lessons are important in terms of nuances of the game. But we talk about, too, even if you take lessons, that doesn't guarantee you anything. It doesn't entitle you, even as a parent, to say, well, my kid's automatically better than your kid. No, not necessarily. That doesn't, the lessons don't automatically equate to this success. It gives you the tools, maybe, to be successful. Is there, because I know you guys are both involved in that field a little bit, but do some people put too much of an emphasis on the lesson aspect of it in terms of thinking that it's automatically going to translate over to the field of play?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, so when I'm home, that's my job. I give baseball lessons, and I can offer you a very specific set of skills and a high level of instruction, but that's not going to do it for you. So I can give you everything you need to know, and I can give you some things other guys cannot give you, but you got to go do something with it. That's my thing. You come to me one time a week, and I'm going to give you everything I got. When you leave me, you have to do something with that. Mm-hmm. And at this day and age, I think sometimes it's, well, I take lessons with Liz Watkins, or, you know, Jordan Delp does a lot of the basketball stuff around here, and or, hey, I go to Tyson Blazer and do baseball or do catching, and they throw that out there, and you're going to be good. It's not the way it works, and I know it sounds like I'm on a soapbox up here, but it's like, come on, you got to do something outside of coming to us one time a week. You know, well, take what we give you.
And that's my frustration of, and I take blame for it, even with when we have a lot of these conversations with coaches, or we get into these issue oriented conversations, that, you know, me as a parent, I've conditioned my kids to play basically organized sports at a young age. Mm-hmm. So they started playing travel basketball at third grade. So they've been conditioned to play that way. They don't really know how to not play out of an organized concept. And I look back at that, but, you know, you become such a gung-ho parent, and you say, well, maybe I should have just said, hey, here's a ball, or do you want to play? I mean, when I look back, that's, we didn't have organized stuff in the off season, and it's so hard to determine if that's helping or hurting. Now, there's more opportunity for kids to play. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. But then I think, well, has it helped the game in the grand scheme of things? And you get back to, are kids enjoying playing? Go to a youth baseball tournament in the summer. Are all kids enjoying playing? It doesn't look like to me every weekend they are. Go to an ASA softball team or softball tournament in the summer. Because the growth and expansion of these youth leagues, from basketball to baseball to softball, in the commitment of, you can, it's not necessarily you have to get better. No, you can just find another place to go. You don't cure the underlying theme of, well, you're still not any good, or you're not getting better. Well, you see what I mean? Long story short here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Ty hit the nail on the head. But also, like you were saying, you know, you go to these basketball leagues and you see that kids are burnt out. And that's why I think breaks are good. Breaks are good. You know, when ASA is done and you've, you know, won nationals, okay, they don't need to, you know, give them a month off. You know, they don't need to jump right into it. But, like, you know, back in the day, Ty, that's what we did. We went from sport to sport to sport to sport. You know, basketball's done. We're at softball open gyms. But I also, like, looking back, big picture, I do think breaks are good for kids, especially you have to read your kid as well, whether they need that they can jump into another sport right away, or whether they do need that break. You have to be realistic while looking at your child, too.
But getting back to the lesson aspect of it, what doesn't that accomplish, if you know what I mean? I mean, like, you provide the technique and the instruction, all right? You do that. Mm-hmm. But for what don't they get then when they go to a game? You know, when we talk about the IQ type of stuff, where you have to be a self-learner, if you know what I mean.
No, I do. I like what you said earlier about should I just throw my kids out there and let them play? And so I had my eyes open my first year in professional coaching, on the coaching side of it. My catching coordinator was not given a whole lot of instruction. It was like, hey, here's the drill. This is what we're doing. Figure it out. And now we're dealing with high-level athletes here, but same goes for kids that are young to professional age. These kids, they're athletes. They're going to figure out. They're going to adapt. So I'm a big advocate for throwing them out there and letting their athleticism take over and figure out how to get it done, mm-hmm. one way or the other. So you don't get that in lessons with me telling you this is exactly the way we should do it, and this goes here and that goes there and the swing goes this way. And mm-hmm. no, I'll give you all that. But when you leave, stop thinking about it. Go out and let them be kids, let them play, let them have fun, and let them just compete.
Yep. Well, and that's why the organized part of it, that kids are conditioned now that it has to be organized. So, you know, coach can be there to practice, you know, where the referee's at, clock running, right? We keep in score. We're doing all that. In terms of they're just not going to go out on their – it has to be a lesson. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Dad can't go on the yard and just throw you the ball and say, hands back, whatever. You know what
I'm saying? I learned more in my backyard getting my butt kicked by my brother than yeah, I did any, going to
just,
a lesson.
That's what I'm saying. Just any sport like that, you know, what I'm saying is guys like me sit here and complain about, why aren't kids playing on their own? Well, because they got lessons.
Yeah.
They have summer open gym. You know, they have the organized structure of the old, you know, Bill Murray line and Scrooge. Here.
Yeah.
The ball. go play. And what I'm saying is we long, just like we long for the Olympic conference coming back, Taylor, it ain't happening. And then we long for, like, kids to do that again, to play on their own. Like, one of my good friends coached at Allam, Pat Rangel. And I just remember what an honor was, because he was a couple years older than me. And when I went to Allam in high school, boo, everybody's like, I knew it, Taylor, boo. Hate you. No, I mean, like, it was such an honor. Like, you'd go from, like, Mitchell Park in Moline to Lincoln Park in Rock Island, and then you'd go to, you know, Park in Moline somewhere to play. And, like, man, you'd hope Rangel would be there because he was older than you, and he was the legit playground kid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some days when I'm driving in the Quad Cities and I drive by some of the parks, I just long for that day. I wish I could still play and hear the ball go through the net. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the beauty and poetry of it, of learning the game on your own and having more enjoyment of those experiences than playing organized sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the poetry and beauty of that I think is missing.
Yeah.
Today. Am I right on that, people?
I know. I think to an extent you are, for sure.
There's a fine line, though, too. Coming from a high school coach, okay? No, I mean, there's a fine line. The kids definitely need to get outside and play and just learn themselves. But also, like, Tyson, if I'm going to come and get a lesson from you, you're going to give me
the balance.
Tools.
I get the balance,
yep. Give me the tools to be successful. But guess what? That's not going to make you a stellar athlete. You have to go work on your own outside, you know, in your living room in front of a mirror, or just playing outside, like in your front yard. You have to be able to put those tools and assets that Ty gave you to work. So.
No, but that's the point. And you have to want it.
Yep.
You have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So you go to that lesson. It's not, because let's be honest. What do you think the percentage of that parent telling their kid, you have a hitting lesson today, or you have a whatever lesson, to any sport, what percentage do you think is that parent telling the kid they got to do it, and then conversely, the resistance from the kid saying, I don't want to do it today, or no, I don't want to do that?
Yeah, there's quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think
I want to see that percentage.
Yeah,
you know. And that's my point of we get back to the entitlement of you thinking you're getting that lesson and you're automatically – student vis-a-vis your child that is the student mm-hmm. of the lesson. No, man, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. You're giving them the tools, and then they got to accept the tools, mm-hmm. and then they got to want it.
Exactly.
You know, they got to want to have the lessons, and they want to be better. But let's be honest, too, about talent, natural God-given ability. And when we talk about the three-sport athlete part of it, well, I could say, well, it's easy for you guys to say that maybe, yeah, I can get away with choosing this sport over that sport because I know when I go back, I'm good enough for that sport that I'm going to play. And there's some of those kids that their primary sport they know they're really good at, and then maybe the other sports they're not as good at, but they feel that they need to be at that off-season thing that's not mandatory, and if they're not, then they'll lose their spot. So you have that kind of pull, you know, between one sport or the other. Because let's face it, if whatever you pick, Liz, and you said, I ain't going to this off-season thing, I'm going to do this, the softball coach ain't going to say, well, you ain't playing, Watkins, or the basketball coach, Ron, said, nope, sit your butt on the bench, you're not playing. Or the volleyball coach Bischoff said, no, you're benched because you chose this sport over that sport. Your ability allows you to play. Now, you deserve it because your talent put it that way. But not all kids, if you see what I'm saying, are in that position.
Yeah.
And then they have to put their emphasis where they know that they have the best opportunity to play, and if they don't show up late in an off-season thing, if you see what I'm saying, then maybe they'll lose that position, so they're not going to play that other sport. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but I also think it falls on to the parents a little bit because, well, not necessarily the parents, the kids as well, but, like, coaching high school softball right now, if there is a conflict, I would expect the kid, well, during softball season, I would expect the kids to go to that primary sport. If there's a conflict at that say, during practice or whatever, or a game, I'd expect you to be there. However, I'm not going to dictate what you do in your off season. I'd love you to practice softball, but I also think you're getting a lot out of playing the volleyball, running the cross country, you know, swinging a golf club, or playing basketball. So, you know, like I said earlier, I want you to get involved in as much stuff as you can, but I also think whatever season is in season, that's where your focus needs to be at that time.
I agree. Can't agree more than that. I think a lot of it falls on high school coaches, and I'm sure there'll be some that may be upset with me out there, but it falls on the high school coaches putting pressure on these kids to get to things that, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, to me, don't matter. You know, hey, you got to be here at this
the off season,
but yeah, the off season, the basketball summer league that we talked mm-hmm. about earlier, or you got to be here for the football passing league. And to me, in the grand scheme of things, great. Yeah, we're working on our craft, but you know what? If you're giving everything you got to basketball, and then you're going to flip the page, and we're going to give everything we got for football or baseball and each sport, I think you get more out of that. I want an athlete to play for me. I don't want a kid that's going to go out and get 1,000 and reps and is going to be at everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, man, thanks for being at everything. But you know what? If you come to me and say, hey, coach, I can't get there. I'm in basketball right now, and this is what we got. Hey, man, go for it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing but even the coaches, and this is the criticism of the coach that I have. I hear so many coaches tell me overkill in off season. But then they feel they're obligated to do it because everybody else does it.
Mm-hmm.
But and I understand the predicament they're in.
For sure.
But most coaches, I say, summer stuff is overkill. And this is another common theme that I have a lot of, that I always hear, not every coach, but I always hear a lot of coaches say, I'll work, speaking with other coaches about, I'll work with your schedule to make it work. But I don't hear them say, I'll work getting that kid out for the sport you coach. He's not playing. It's always, I'll try to work with the schedule to make it work. It's not, well, I'll try to get these kids to go out. You see, and I think that's kind of an issue, too, where you have the bleed over from the off season impeding on the in-season sport. And I'm a big believer now, and I know a lot of coaches don't like me when I say this, but I think, I just truly believe that off-season stuff involving school should be shut down, in my opinion, during in-season stuff. Because everybody says, well, we're giving kids the opportunity to do something if they're not playing that sport. And I'm just like, no, you're giving that kid the opportunity not to play that sport. That's my opinion. Now, I can hear the argument from both sides saying we have to do some off-season stuff. My opinion, the kid can do off-season stuff on their own. You know, that's just my and that's what I think where the issue is, because the reason I still say they're multi-sport athletes, but the definition has changed. They're multi-season athletes. Mm-hmm. They play their same sport multi-season because they have the opportunity to do so. And the we don't have a way to resolve that, I guess, if you see what I mean. Because some coaches are so mad saying you can't do the off-season stuff, then there's the other debate where no, you got to let them do the off-season stuff, so they're going to miss some practices for this. And then you have kids on the team saying, well, you're letting them miss practice for that, and they're winning my spot. So there's all these things that mm-hmm. become an issue with off-season impeding on in-season. I don't know what
the
answer is.
And I think if the expectations are set, like our head coach, John Nelson, is very, you know, specific in the rules and expectations, and gives a binder, makes the parents sign them, as well as our student-athletes. So everybody is just pretty straightforward on, okay, if you miss a practice for XYZ, this is the this is the outcome of what's going to happen. And so everybody signs it before the season, so everybody's on the same page. And as long as the expectation is set that, you know, me as a coach, I would prefer if we are in primary softball season, that is where your 100% is going to be. However, I do understand that you might have volleyball on the weekends. But as long as it's not conflicting with my stuff, then I don't care. And I want you to go do that because it makes you a more well-rounded athlete.
Yeah, and that's
just
the,
don't get hurt.
That's
right?
The right. That's the right. That's the right way to. I think that's the right way to handle that. All right, we're running out of time. I got to take one more break here. We still have some time here, so we'll take a break and more with Tyson Blazer and Liz Watkins Furlong on WRMJ.
Sometimes life can feel like a never-ending to-do list. Figuring out what you're going to have for dinner is enough of a task in itself. So planning for your retirement, something that could be 10, 20, or 30 years in the future, is easy to put off. At Country Financial, they get it. And just like your to-do list, they know your needs are unique. They don't believe in taking the cookie-cutter approach to retirement planning. They'll focus on your individual situation and goals to help you create a solid plan for your future. They offer a variety of products and services that can help keep you on track. Contact your local Country Financial representative to get started.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Walk or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Investment management, retirement, trust, and planning services are provided by Country Trust Bank. Investments are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, and may lose value.
The human foot is complex with 26 bones, 33 joints, 20 of which are actively articulated, and there's more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments. That's why 6140 Run introduced Albert, the revolutionary 3D foot scanner. Albert helps customize your shoes specifically to your feet. Whether you run, walk, or on your feet for a long time, 6140 Run knows feet come in all shapes and sizes, and with Albert, you'll get a customized, comfortable fit every time. 6140 Run carries Brooks, Mizuno, and Wolverine work boots. For a better fit for your feet, see 6140 Run next to the Downtown Y in Galesburg.
When you need computer help, you need it quick. Office Specialist understands that. Just like their name says, they're certified, knowledgeable technicians are specialists in network maintenance, custom web apps for your intranet, website design, new computer sales, troubleshooting, and more. Many times they can perform remote repair without visiting you. Let Office Specialist be your go-to techs for all of your computer needs. Contact Office Specialist in Galesburg today.
If you're in the market for a tractor, sprayer, or combine, Martin Sullivan is your home for new and used John Deere equipment, commercial and residential lawn equipment like zero-turn mowers and riding mowers, lawn tractors, and more. Stop in today and talk with one of our experienced team members to figure out what equipment is right for your job. See us about one of our great inspections or smart services. Troubleshoot with our knowledgeable parts and services departments. We have the equipment, service, and people you know and appreciate at Martin Sullivan in Aledo.
Putting off planning for your future? We get it. You know you're supposed to plan for retirement early. You know you're supposed to plan for things like going back to school and sending your kids to college. But do you? If you do, we can help keep you on track. If not, don't feel bad. You're not alone. At Country Financial, we're here to help you create a solid plan based on your unique situation and goals, with products and services that can help keep you on track.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
All right, if you're just joining us, you've missed out on a bunch. Right?
No, no. You missed out on a bunch.
I tell people a lot of these conversations is the start. And for the student-athlete that's listening, or the parent, or the coach, this is the start. This ain't, I ain't right with what I say. I have an opinion of what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm not at practice every day. I show up on Friday nights to do the game or Saturday afternoon or whatever, and then I pack my equipment up and go home. So as we – because I just want to kind of get closing thoughts from you, but I was thinking about this, about the one thing I saw this was recently. It was within the last year. I saw somebody post this. They were playing in a like rec league 3-on-3 tournament, like a 3-on-3 like league. And I'm like, and there were referees there.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, what? No, man. You gotta have refs for 3-on-3 basketball? Like it's a, like a rec league, like a weekly type of thing. And I'm like,
three
no.
Three-on-three is just
prison
rules, man.
No, I mean, come on. Why
man.
can't you play 3-on-3 on, can't you get six kids in Reynolds or whatever town you're in, Girard, Viola, or whatever, to just play somewhere on your own? You really need to pay an entry fee to play 3-on-3.
Hey, don't knock 3-on-3.
No, I Sarah like it.
Fernell and Hannah Fernell and I. And
I know, but I'm saying you can play those, but I mean, can you play on, can't you play on your own, though?
If you didn't
maybe,
pay.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm at fault where we kids are conditioned that they can't, that they have
you're
to.
Right.
And it's sad. I just think that is a sad, that's where a lot of the IQ is at. On a lot of these things where you don't pick the IQ or the nuances up of some of these games. Because, come on, you guys admit it. You go to some of these games, whatever the sport, and you know, primary softball, primary baseball, and come on, man, you'll go to a diamond, and you'll watch a game, and you'll see a kid.
Body language.
That body language, but you'll see a kid that has played, you know, 9 months out of the year, and then you'll say, where is he throwing the ball to?
Yeah.
You know, and he's played 164 games in the last 3 months, and that's what it's taught him? That's where he's throwing the ball, or that's where she's throwing the ball? You know what I'm saying?
More isn't always better.
Well, no.
Right? And so I agree
and
with you,
and that's what
man.
They say, the nuances of the game, that it's like, okay, you're playing so much, and I don't know. It's those type of things where you just really are like, man, you play that much and you still don't know that fundamental concept of the game, because you have to be point blank told from the coach this is how you do it, that you don't pick it up on your own.
Not everyone works that way. I absolutely love the nuances of the game, knowing I can beat you physically, but I'm also two steps ahead of you.
Yeah, that's and I think a lot of that is developed on your own. So anyway, that's those type of things. I don't know. That's just the old guy that lives on the south side of Florida that's falling out. It's just like,
he must have gone to Allman. I swear.
It's way past this playing days. What didn't I bring up that you need to bring up, both of you? I mean,
oh man, we talked a lot.
No, and I know we could talk for another.
We could. I just love to go and watch high school athletics and see kids that are, you know, out there competing and that are good from sports to sport. Man, hey, I saw the guy in the football. Throw a football, he's pretty good. Oh, hey, you should see him play baseball. You know, and watch that guy out there playing basketball. Hey, man, you should watch him play football. That to me is awesome. I love watching those kids.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I feel like I've said it 100 times. It's just the opportunities that being involved in multi-sport, multi-organization, the opportunities that it gives you, not only to be involved with your community, because like I said, we have the best community out here at Rock Ridge. Being from a small farm community like this, you are allowed to play three sports. you can get involved in many, many, many things. And it just teaches you life lessons that you're going to take on to college and into your career and into your life after that. And, you know, time management, working with difficult people, trying to, like, think the game and just, you know, it just makes you a better person in general.
You said something that I think is very important, Tyson, is about less is more. Mm-hmm. And you think we think about how much games, there's more games than practice and instruction. That's the way the system is built now. And I think about when I grew up and I started playing, and you and most people I think can relate to this, the early part of your life when you started playing whatever. Why did you play? Man, because you loved it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't, the results really didn't matter. It's like you wanted to have a ball in your hand or you wanted to do this, whatever the activity is. And then kind of you get to the middle part of your life because you've played so much. Maybe it loses a little bit of its luster. And I'm sure maybe you experienced mm-hmm. that a little bit at college when you're, you know, you've played for so long. And then as you get older, like I noticed in my life, you know, the early part, you just love to get together with your friends or whatever and whatever team or whatever you're doing and play. And then, like, for me, it's come full circle. Now, I get back, and I play in a rec, like, 15-over softball league. And it, for me, it's important because I'm like, Wednesday nights, I'm not – that's what I do. So don't – if you're expecting me to do something on Wednesday nights, I'm not doing it. I'm terrible. But the game has passed me by. But I love playing. I love putting my glove on. I love the feel of the ball. I like hitting the ball. And I enjoy it. I love it. And I think that's how kind of it works in life, is when you stop playing, you know, you're out someday driving around and you see something like, man, I wish I could get the mid on. I wish I had the ball, man, crossover. I wish whatever. Yeah. I wish they'd set me up at the net so I could, you know, put a kill down on Sherrard. Man, I miss that.
I
you know
wish what I'm saying? Could go and that's what I'm saying. The basketball
and that's what it's true. You said less is more.
Yeah.
Less is more. And games at the high school level, I'm sorry, and I'm talking about interscholastic IHSA athletics, aren't as big of a deal as they used to be because we play 8,000 games before we get to high school. And you talked about tournaments. Well, you won a national tournament. You didn't win the national tournament. You won one of 7,000, so you're not a national championship. That's why I like Little League. You're truly the Little League World Series champion because you go through a tournament. But all these other national tournaments – you know, that they have, I'm saying, you know, you've won a national tournament, not the national tournament. And kids get to play so many games that some of the games lose their luster as they go along.
I agree, man.
So it's just what
no,
I'm
I do.
And I'm not saying you're just killing youth sports. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying sometimes when you're out there considering what's the best option for the youth, think about less is more sometimes.
Yeah. Instruct, let them play, have fun, and teach. Yeah, let them teach them, you know?
Hunt.
Yes.
You like doing that? You make time for that? Very important. Do, like what you like.
Exactly.
You know, and enjoy, do what you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So I was honored and privileged to cover, and I want to say it to your face, I was so honored and privileged to cover you guys in high school athletics. And I give many examples. When I talk to people about what I've seen, I'm like, be like Liz Watkins, be like Tyson Blazer. That's not just the only two I talk about. I mean, there's a lot of kids, but I was so fortunate, and you helped put WRMJ on the map.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that, and on the other end of it, I absolutely love what you guys do.
Exactly.
I absolutely love it. I follow it when I'm off doing my thing down in Florida, and listen when Rockets are playing.
That's
and,
awesome.
Oh, man, I absolutely love it. I can't say it enough.
WRMJ is the best. And what's great is we still get you in softball season, so you
can't
get rid of us right now.
I tell you, that was such a fun ride last year.
I still can't believe it.
That's a good group of kids and, with the personalities they have, and just that's a good program.
We still just randomly text the big group text that's like, hey, guys, we're state champs.
All right, well, Tyson Blazer and Liz Watkins Furlong, thank you very much for coming in today, and thank you for being examples that many of us can look up to. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.